The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Today I'll talk about how 2000 Mules has broken out into the political and cultural mainstream. The film can't be stopped, and I'll tell you what the implications are. I also want to start addressing in some depth, into the weeds, some of the objections to the movie, and I want to discuss one today, which is, are these legal votes being delivered in an illegal way? Former Trump attorney Jenna Ellis will join me. We're going to talk about the targeting of Trump lawyers for perpetrating the ha-ha big lie. And I'm going to join Dante in the Circle of Jupiter to examine a profound question involving divine justice. This is the Dinesh D'Souza Show.
America needs this voice. The times are crazy. In a time of confusion, division, and lies, we need a brave voice of reason, understanding, and truth. This is the Dinesh D'Souza Podcast.
My documentary, 2000 Mules, has broken out into the political and cultural mainstream. It's now become kind of unstoppable. In fact, today, at the European Union, a group, I think they're Dutch members of parliament, they have announced a screening of the movie followed by a discussion of the worldwide problem of election fraud. Yesterday, the Washington Post published a in-depth, and I mean in-depth, conversation, a Q&A. It was kind of a feisty conversation. It involves actually a guy who's kind of obsessed with this issue, Philip Bump, the national correspondent for the Washington Post. He's written like six articles about it. And he finally, well, I invited him to do a debate. And he said, well, I don't know about a debate, but maybe we can do a point, counterpoint, and exchange in the Washington Post. We talked for about an hour on Monday. And I didn't expect him to publish the whole conversation, but he did. And it's awesome. I mean, when I printed it out, 23 pages long. So it's thousands of words. And as I was reading it, I was obviously focusing on the content. I mean, you know, to be honest, I think he kind of got me, but that's not the reality. You could read and figure it out for yourself. Tomorrow, by the way, I'm going to do an in-depth discussion of that article and some of the other so-called refutations of the movie. But as I was reading it, I was thinking to myself, you know, here's a movie that's being discussed ad nauseum in the Washington Post, and yet it has not been mentioned on Fox News. So I think all of this is starting to, well, it's making Fox News look horrible and look foolish. This is supposedly a news network. I mean, no one is surprised that CNN is staying away from it. It's like poison to them. It's not something they can deal with. And of course, none of them dare have me on. It would be disastrous for them to put me on. Rachel Maddow doesn't dare. Joy Reid doesn't dare. I mean, these people are cowards. They're intellectual cowards. They rely on essentially deception, telling lies to their own audience. Their audience maybe wants to believe those lies. But the idea that their arguments or their challenges could withstand critical scrutiny, ha, 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 that is not the case at all. Now, let me talk about the movie. It's going into theaters, really a kind of official opening this weekend. It's really important we do well. Why? Because if we do well in theaters this weekend, we'll be in even more theaters the next weekend. By the way, this was not even something at our initiative. A bunch of theaters noticed that when we did our theater rentals May 2nd and May 4th, we did so well that they were like, hey, put the movie in our theater. We want to sort of, you know, sell tickets. And so the movie is opening not as a single theater rental, as we did the last time. It's opening normally, which means that starting Friday, and there are actually some shows on Thursday evening, four shows a day. You can buy tickets the normal way. The easiest way to buy tickets, by the way, just go to the website, 2000meals.com, click on theaters. It'll take you to Fandango or Atom or one of those sites where you buy tickets like you buy tickets for any other movie. You obviously put in your zip code. It tells you whether theaters are playing the movie near you. So 400 theaters. Not everybody will be able to see it in a theater, but on the other hand, it's a lot of theaters and pretty much major theaters in every general area. The movie is number one on Amazon. And again, it's kind of funny because we were kind of flying below the radar. But how do you fly below the radar when you're the number one DVD in the country? So I think Amazon's like, oh, where'd this movie come from? So I was initially worried I'd be suppressed on Amazon. They would take it down. I don't think they're going to. The movie has acquired, I mean, it's gotten enough debate and respectability to the point where everyone can see this is not some wild conspiracy theory. You can argue about it. You can disagree about it. But the idea that somehow this doesn't even deserve to be considered or discussed, that is, I think, being established as absolutely preposterous. Now, I'm going this coming weekend to Arizona. I'm going to speak at the Maricopa GOP luncheon. And this is going to be really interesting because it's going to be a mixed crowd. And by mixed crowd, I mean it's all Republicans, but it's two types of Republicans. It's kind of the MAGA Republicans, but it's also the Republican establishment. It's going to have some people there who I think are critics, even skeptics of Trump. And for me, this is actually a wonderful opportunity because I believe that this is a film that can bring the Republican Party together, even the skeptics. And I saw some of those. I did a presentation along with Catherine Engelbrecht and Greg Phillips at an RNC, Republican National Committee training session. And there were a couple of people who came kind of skeptically, let me see what these guys have. And they left, they were like discombobulated because this was not what they had heard, not what they expected. And they realized that this is a whole different caliber of proof that at the very least they have to sort of deal with. It's not something you can just avert your gaze from. So I'm looking forward to this presentation. I'm looking forward to the discussion the very next day. And this is going to be a star-studded event in Arizona. Carrie Lake will be there. Andy Biggs, congressman, will be there. Lots of people. There's a screening being organized, 1,000 people or more, by Turning Point Action. This is Turning Point USA, Charlie Kirk's group. And it is it's going to be a terrific event. It's the screening of the movie. And then Charlie and I will essentially field questions about it. What does it mean? What are next steps? And so on. The movie is, by the way, still available both on salemnow.com. And I think I mentioned we've lowered the price a bit. So I think it's within the reach of people who want to see the movie. I've also brought the price down to $19.99 to stream and watch on Locals. And I want to make a short pitch for joining my Locals subscription, because if you join my Locals annual subscription, you can watch the movie for free. And this is a place to stay in touch with ongoing conversation about this topic and all other taboo topics. Notice, by the way, that even on this podcast, there are certain topics I sort of hold back from. And I hold back from simply for the fact that the podcast, in order to be viable, needs to be on places like YouTube and on Facebook. And of course, I would, not only will it be taken down, but I'll probably be taken down. And so as a result, I'm operating within the rules that are set by these censors, I'm afraid. I pushed the envelope. Debbie's always warning me, this is it, Dinesh, this is your last day on YouTube. It's kind of been my last day on YouTube for a while. So, but much as though I push against the boundaries, I also know what the rules are. And so Locals is the place where it's Dinesh Unchained. And so just letting you know that if you want to be part of ongoing conversations of all these taboo issues, from climate change to COVID, the trans issue, even abortion, but certainly the issue of election fraud, do consider subscribing to my Locals channel. Just go to dinesh.locals.com. Real simple, dinesh.locals.com. Or just go to 2000mules.locals.com. And that will also push you into exactly the same place. Mike Lindell and MyPillow are offering a BOGO, buy one, get one extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Now's the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, roll and go anywhere MyPillows, and so much more. Just go to MyPillow.com, use promo code Dinesh, or call 800-876-0227. Don't miss this incredible opportunity to buy one, get one free on select products. You'll also get a copy of Mike's book absolutely free with any purchase. Call 800-876-0227 or go to MyPillow.com. Don't forget to use promo code D-I-N-E-S-H, Dinesh. In his commentary on 2000 Mules, Ben Shapiro made the following observation. He said, in other words, the process is corrupt. And people are violating the law in how they are moving these ballots. But that does not mean that the ballots are being cast by dead people or that they are being punched by somebody in the back room somewhere. So Ben here is raising a point that others have raised as well. In fact, I see it here on an article on the European Conservative. It is theoretically possible that each ballot was legitimate. And so the point being made by Ben and by the guy in the European Conservative is, could it be that these are lawful ballots, legal ballots, that are merely being delivered in an illegal way? And I want to address this point here. Number one, how would nonprofit organizations deeply embedded in these inner cities get their hands on hundreds of thousands of legal ballots? How would that occur? Let's think about that. Is it the case that all these people spontaneously decide, well, you know, I have a ballot and I'm filling it out, but yeah, I'm kind of too lazy to go to the Dropbox. I'm actually going to go to the left-wing organization and give them my ballot so they can hire mules in the middle of the night to go deliver them. I mean, I think you can see that this is implausible. Now, is it possible that the left-wing organizations decided, hey, listen, what we should do is identify Democrats, go door to door, let's say in a housing project, and collect everybody's ballot ourselves, and then we will hire the mules to drop the ballots off? Well, first of all, if that was going on, why don't these nonprofits say that? Why don't they admit that this is actually what they're doing? Well, of course, the reason they don't admit it is it's illegal. IRS rules say that nonprofit organizations cannot be involved in partisan electioneering on behalf of any party or any candidate. So there is no process by which these organizations, which, by the way, they can exhort people in a generic sense to go vote. That's it. What they can't do is be, in a sense, the delivery boys, the bag men, so to speak, for the Democratic Party to deliver votes for Biden or for any candidate whatsoever. Now, moreover, let's say, for purposes of argument, that all these votes somehow are legal but magically ended up in the hands of these nonprofits. Let's say that happened. The question now is, are those votes corrupted by money changing hands and by the fact that paid mules are dropping those votes off? And the answer to that is yes. In other words, there is no such thing as a legal vote illegally delivered in this sense. Now, of course, it's theoretically possible to think of a legal vote. Let's say, for example, I cast a legal vote, and I put my name and I put my address, but I forgot my zip code. Now, that ballot can be, as they say, cured. Someone calls me up and they go, wait a minute, you forgot your zip code. I go, okay, here it is. We're not talking about this. We're talking about paying operatives, political operatives, to go and deliver these votes. That's illegal in all 50 states. And so Ben is sort of implying that you can have a valid vote that is somehow corruptly delivered, illegally delivered, but it remains valid. And my point is that's not true. It doesn't remain valid. Let's take California, which has a very liberal, the most liberal vote harvesting law in the country, in which I can go to my neighbor and say, Brian, you know what? Here's my ballot. You drop it off. I filled it out. You just take it to the mailbox. That's allowed. It doesn't have to be a family member. It can be literally anyone. But if I were to say to Brian, hey, Brian, listen, I'll give you $50 if you drop off my ballot. Or if I say to Brian, go drop off my ballot and I'll give you $50 as a compensation for your time. That is a fraudulent ballot. That the process of delivering that ballot, the possibility of bribery that enters into the process has essentially rendered a legal vote into an untrustworthy and a fraudulent vote. By the way, it's exactly the same as a scenario in which I go in person to vote. I get my ballot and I suddenly announce, listen, I've got to run home to do some errands. I'll come back in an hour. I'll fill out the ballot at home and then I'll come and drop it off. I'll just give it to you. They wouldn't let me do that. Why not? Because once the ballot leaves the premises, they have no idea what's happened to it. And so the reason that when you're voting in person, remember, we're talking now in this example about voting in person, The ballot is under constant observation by election workers and poll observers to make sure it doesn't leave my hands, it doesn't leave the premise, and if it does, suddenly a legal vote. Let's remember, I'm a legal voter, this is a legitimate ballot, but nevertheless, if I do that under those circumstances, a legal ballot, when the process of filling it out and delivering it has been corrupted, becomes a fraudulent and illegal ballot and cannot and must not be counted. Well, it's finally happened. The Fed is realizing the dire straits our economy is in thanks to our loose and irresponsible monetary policy. Well, apparently you can't just spend trillions every year with no repercussions. Now, to play catch-up, the Fed has been raising rates and plans to 7 times this year. You're already starting to see those ripple effects in the housing market as people's buying power diminishes. You consider what could happen in the stock market if our economy stalls out. Don't wait till that happens. Take some of your profits from the stock market now and solidify them with gold from Birch Gold. Throughout history, gold has maintained its value better than any other investment in the world. Text Dinesh to 989898 for a free zero-obligation information kit on holding gold in a tax-sheltered retirement account. I buy my gold from Birch Gold, and you should too. Countless 5-star reviews, an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. I trust the professionals at Birch Gold. Text Dinesh to 989898 and secure the gains you've made while you can. The left is really getting desperate on 2,000 mules. They started out by unleashing their fact checkers. And these are 20 and 30 somethings. And they thought, okay, yeah, we'll shut this down, you know. But of course, these are people who know nothing about geo-tracking. Geo-tracking is not very reliable. And they don't know much about election law. And so they had these clumsy first salvos that were easily repelled. In fact, even people who had nothing to do with politics would say things like, wait a minute, I lost my cell phone in some tall grass and I was able to pinpoint its exact location within inches. So this idea that you can't, that all this technology doesn't work is like laughably absurd. And so suddenly the left realized, oh my gosh, we've obviously deployed our B team and that's not going to be enough. We need to unleash the A team. So the A team is now coming out. The A team is the New York Times, which is evidently trying to do some sort of a hit job. They haven't published it yet. Whoop-de-doo. I mentioned the Washington Post, which I'll be discussing in depth tomorrow. Philip Bump in the Washington Post. There's an article in NPR, which I'll be dealing with tomorrow, probably. But I want to talk about an article in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, which is focusing on Georgia. And I want to use it as just a case study of just classic deception at all levels. Title of the article, Georgia investigation dispels allegations highlighted in 2000 mules. Let's just take in the title for a minute. You think you're going to get some kind of refutation of the allegation in 2000 mules that 242 mules have been identified through cell phone geo-tracking, visiting 10 or more drop boxes each. And a bunch of these people are seen on video. Not all of them, but a bunch of them where the video is available. Now, the subtitle of the article, ballots were legally delivered for family members. Okay? And then I start reading the article. The article, it turns out, is about one guy. And I'm going to read. Surveillance video showed a man pull up in a white SUV and insert 5 absentee ballots into a Gwinnett County Dropbox. An investigation revealed he was delivering ballots for his family, which is allowed under Georgia law. First of all, I immediately begin thinking to myself, an investigation revealed he was delivering ballots for his family. Now, how would an investigation reveal that? Remember, when an absentee ballot is put into a ballot box, it goes in with all the other ballots. And once the ballot is taken out of the envelope, the two pieces of evidence, the envelope with the signature and the name is in one side, and the ballot goes in with all the other ballots. There's no way to retrieve those ballots. In fact, this has been, this was discussed in the movie, and it's a little bit of a problem for my side because I can't reverse engineer the process by finding those ballots, but neither can the other side. They can't go find the ballots either. So how do they know that this guy who's seen on video putting in ballots one after the other was delivering ballots for family members? It turns out they don't know. The only way that they claim to know is they asked him. So he goes, yeah, I was delivering ballots for family members. And that is the basis, and it turns out the sole basis for providing this so-called refutation. Now, literally, this article implies that this single case, this solitary case, they go, so far, Georgia election investigators have debunked the movie's allegations. And I'm thinking, where? When? Where's the debunking of the allegations? I've never seen it. It doesn't exist. So essentially, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution is going based on this one case, extrapolating to the 242 cases which have not been investigated. The Georgia election investigators have not come to any conclusion regarding that geo-tracking evidence. There's, as far as I know, an investigation ongoing, although I'm highly suspicious about whether this is an investigation that's intended to go anywhere, or it's an investigation essentially designed to put everything into slow motion so that nothing actually happens. The article goes on to say, True the Vote hasn't complied with subpoenas issued because it, quote, wants to protect the confidentiality. Yes, this is the confidentiality of True the Vote's whistleblower. Now, the whistleblower came forward at the beginning. This was the very initiation of the investigation. The whistleblower confirmed that he was paid $10 a ballot. And not only he was part of an operation that paid $10 a ballot. So, by the way, in my conversation with the Washington Post, how do you know the mules are paid? We don't see them getting paid in the movie. Well, okay, I didn't show it in the movie because the whistleblower wants to stay anonymous, as in fact sort of disappeared. But the whistleblower testified that there was this mule operation going on in Atlanta, and this convinced Drew the Vote to then buy the geo-tracking data to try to confirm and corroborate through technological evidence the existence and the magnitude of this operation. So the whistleblower turned out to be right. Everything that the whistleblower said proved to be true. But apparently the Georgia investigators, instead of going after the mules, are trying to protect the mules, or at least in this one case. Whose votes were they? Oh, they're the votes of my family members. Oh, wonderful. Investigation concluded. So instead of really investigating the mules, they're trying to find the whistleblower. And in some ways, I think this is an obvious case of, it seems, trying to have an investigation that consciously or deliberately goes nowhere. Who likes to eat 6 servings of fruits and vegetables every single day? Well, who can realistically do that? Balance of Nature provides that, and their products are 100% natural, vine-ripened, whole food, and third-party tested. This is real science, real food, real nutrition. Debbie and I take 10 daily servings of the fruits and veggies. Take a look. All in 6 small capsules. There are no trouble swallowing. Always fresh. Nothing artificial. They smell great. Debbie also swears by this. It's the fiber and spice that keeps her regular. Invest in your health. Invest in your life. Join me and experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself for years to come. For a limited time, all new preferred customers receive an additional 35% discount and free shipping on your first Balance of Nature order. Use discount code BALANCE. Call 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751, or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code BALANCE. Guys, I'm really happy to welcome to the podcast my friend, fellow Salem podcast host, constitutional law attorney, host of the Jenna Ellis Show, special counsel at the Thomas More Society, and former senior legal advisor and counsel to President Donald J. Trump, Jenna Ellis. Jenna, great to have you. Thanks for joining me. Let's start by talking about Mastriano. This is Douglas Mastriano, who kind of pulled off, is it fair to say, an upset victory in Pennsylvania? Talk about your role and participation in this remarkable development.
Yeah, thanks so much, my friend, for having me. And I was with the Mastriano campaign last night to celebrate this victory party. And it's been an amazing grassroots movement that has spread like wildfire throughout Pennsylvania, because Doug Mastriano truly understands, as a citizen first, what Pennsylvanians and broader Americans care about, which is primarily to protect and preserve our rights, and also to protect and preserve election integrity. And so, it was a huge landslide victory. He won by almost 45% of the vote. And I told him 45 is a great number, right? Because President Trump, of course, endorsed him. And so he won with a wider percentage of the vote than the second and third place candidates combined. So what this says to me is that people are waking up across America, and we want to put into positions in federal office, state and local leaders who actually understand what America is all about and are willing to ask questions about election integrity, are willing to ask questions about government, and won't shy away when they're called terms and derogatory terms like insurrectionist and election denier. They don't care. Doug Mastriano doesn't care. I don't care. He will stand up and fight for liberty, and so will I.
I mean, this is amazing because you're right. The headlines today are, you know, election denier. Election denier. See, the thing about all that to me is comical is that it all rides on a premise that is itself collapsed. So the premise is this was the most secure election ever. And out of that comes the idea that any questioning of it is a big lie. And out of that comes the idea that if you are promoting the big lie, we get to suppress you, ostracize you, censor you. But the real question is the premise even true? The premise, Jenna, I mean, let's leave aside 2,000 mules. The premise was never true. And by that, I mean, in order for it to be true, you would have to take the 2020 election, make a reasonable measurement of the amount of fraud, and then show that it was less than in 2016, 2012, 2008, 2004. I mean, to my knowledge, that's never even been attempted, let alone successfully conducted. So, I mean, I think that the left has been trying really hard here to get away with establishing a kind of doctrine that is on the face of it absurd.
You're absolutely right, Dinesh. And that's where the mainstream media has tried to promote their own big lie, which is this premise that they have never shown any proof or any evidence of. And it's the same thing that Democrats always do. They are accusing us conservatives of actually doing what they're doing. And what they're doing is promoting their own big lie that they have no evidence for. And these are what we would call in law just bald assertions, meaning they have absolutely no weight or support, and they're not credible because there hasn't been any evidence. No one has compared and contrasted the election in 2020 to any of the past to say, how do we know that it was the most safe and the most secure? And why aren't we allowed to ask these questions? For any American, including a sitting senator in Pennsylvania, to simply ask the question, what happened? Now, all of a sudden, he's unfit for office. He's an election denier. And that is patently absurd that in America, we can't ask questions without then becoming, quote unquote, traitors or un-American or somehow not preserving and protecting American values. We should be questioning government every step of the way. That's actually the responsibility and duty of free citizens.
I mean, I'm often asked, you know, what is the next step for 2,000 Mules? Like, where is this going to go? What are you trying to achieve? Obviously, at one level, we're trying to achieve investigations into the mules and the operation that was put together to enable them to function. But I think the other thing we're trying to achieve is a little bit of a wake-up call to the Republican Party and to produce a political shift within the Republican Party. I mean, I find it interesting how people like Mastriano and Carrie Lake, for example, in Arizona, she's literally blowing away her opposition in the primary. And I think she'll be a very strong candidate in the general. Does this suggest to you that we're seeing the remaking of the Republican Party?
Absolutely. And Doug Mastriano now is the head of the Republican Party in Pennsylvania. And like Donald Trump in 2016, he is the Donald Trump of Pennsylvania because he has come in and he has forced the Republicans to actually look at what the voters want. And the voters want America first candidates, which isn't just a slogan. It's not just a phrase from President Trump. It's actually getting back to doing the business of governing, which is preserving and protecting the rights of Americans and making sure that there are limited powers. There's accountability. There's separation of powers. If you look at what happened during the COVID pandemic in Pennsylvania with Governor Wolf just having all of these shutdowns and these governors across the country in blue states saying, we're going to determine whether or not your business is essential enough that you can reopen. We're going to close churches and say that they're not essential. Americans are sick and tired of being told when, where, and how they can exercise their constitutionally protected rights. And so the Republican Party is going to have to get on board rather than being the establishment and DNC light. If the Republican Party wants to survive and not be totally transformed and into just an America First party, they're going to have to reevaluate their ultimate values and come back to traditional conservative values and support candidates like Carrie Lake and Doug Mastriano.
Let's take a pause, Jenna. When we come back, I want to talk about the left's campaign to go after the Trump attorneys. We'll be right back. Some of us wish we could rewind the clock when it comes to our health. Things like exercising, climbing stairs, all the things young people take for granted. Well, these aren't things that have to stop just because you age. Neither do you have to simply suffer and endure the normal aging aches and pains. Now there's a 100% drug-free solution for you, and it's called Relief Factor. Relief Factor supports your body's fight against inflammation. That's the source of aches and pains. The vast majority of people who try Relief Factor order more because it works for them. Debbie's a true believer. She loves using Relief Factor when her shoulder was acting up about a year or so ago. Relief Factor was the one thing that worked, and she knows if she stops taking it, well, the pain's going to come right back. So she's like, I'm not going to be without this again. You too can benefit. Try it for yourself. Order the 3-week quick start for the discounted price of just $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 833-690-7246 to find out more about this offer. That number again, 833-690-7246, or go to relieffactor.com. You'll feel the difference. I'm back with my friend, fellow Salem podcaster, constitutional lawyer, Jenna Ellis. Jenna, let's talk about this campaign on the part of the left, building on their big lie, to go after Trump attorneys like you and act like your representation of Trump or the Trump campaign somehow constitutes a fundamental abrogation of your legal duty. Walk us through what's happening, who's doing it, and the implications of it.
Yeah, it's a purely partisan theatrics, and it's a partisan narrative by the Democrats to specifically target any attorneys. There are about 110 of us that these Democrat operatives have targeted to try to disbar lawyers for simply representing zealously our client, including the Trump campaign and Donald Trump himself. And what they're trying to do is take away not only our livelihood, but so reinforce to the American public that if you stand up for truth and you have an interest in actually doing your job as a lawyer, then we are going to make sure to come after you so that everyone is intimidated and won't actually stand up and defend anyone like Donald Trump in the future. And it's so absurd, Dinesh, because the first responsibility of attorneys is to have zealous representation of your client. I don't care if your name is Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. In America, you can hire a lawyer to represent and advocate on your behalf. And so what they're claiming, that this promotion of the big lie is somehow an ethical violation, it contravenes the entire notion of our system of lawyering. And if they are successful at this, which they have been temporarily, at least in New York, with my friend and co-counsel Rudy Giuliani, this is the end of American lawyering as we know it, because they will then take and harness these partisan attacks and intimidate lawyers so that lawyers will back off and say, sorry, I don't want to put my career on the line to represent your interests. And that is so shocking that we would ever get to that point in American society.
I mean, Jenna, isn't our legal system based on the principle that it doesn't matter if you're Jeffrey Epstein or Charles Manson? It doesn't matter that you are accused of horrific crimes or even that you did them. You still have a right to legal representation, and your lawyer is not to blame for what you did. Your lawyer is an advocate in a system that's based upon testing rival arguments and counting on the truth to emerge out of that crucible, right?
Absolutely. It's an adversarial process for a reason, and this is why due process is enumerated as a protected right in our Constitution. And there was no better champion for that among our founders than John Adams, who defended so many different people throughout the course of his practice of law that were not at the time politically favorable clients. But he understood, like the other lawyers that were founders of this country, signers of the Declaration of Independence, ratified the U.S. Constitution, to understand that if government can coerce and compel citizens into prosecutions and even in civil liability without the right to an advocate, then that is coercing and compelling citizens to go along with the government narrative. And to say that somehow, because you have a professional advocate, that now that advocate believes that your claims are somehow okay, or that they are now responsible for the conduct of the client, then no one ever accused of any criminal offense would ever have the right to counsel. It's patently absurd. It goes fundamentally against the whole notion of American jurisprudence.
And I think I remember from the John Adams movie that there was a bunch of British soldiers who had come under accusation. Obviously, popular opinion was heavily against the British. But Adams, even though he was on the side of the revolution, represented those guys. And I think in the belief that, look, I'm a lawyer in Boston, and it's my job to provide them with good representation. And he got them off to the rage of the mob. So, and today historians look at that as a kind of act of true patriotism, kind of the higher patriotism that's a fidelity to kind of core American principles of justice. So I think what you're saying here is this isn't just about going after Trump lawyers. And I think I saw a very sleazy, well, let's take a break because I'm gonna cite the quotation, but when we come back, I'd like you to respond to it. David Brock basically saying there are big fish and little fish. We want to ruin the lives of the little fish because they may not have the same resources to defend against us than the big fish. We'll be right back.
Imagine the lifelong impact of a journey to the Holy Land. Surrounded by like-minded travelers, picture yourself stepping foot in iconic locations right out of Scripture. Join Dr. Sebastian Gorka and Dinesh D'Souza on this life-enriching Israel tour, November 30th through December 9th, 2022. For more information, call 855-565-5519 or visit standwithisraeltour.com.
I'm back with Jenna Ellis. Jenna, I was quoting David Brock. Is he one of the mean-spirited leftists who's behind this campaign? I mean, we know he's a major sleazeball, so it doesn't surprise me in the slightest. But is he the leader of the effort, or is he a mere participant?
He's one of the leaders of at least the 65 Project, which is just one of the Democrat partisan coalitions that's trying to come after the Trump lawyers and intimidate us from actually fulfilling our professional responsibility. And Dinesh, you were absolutely right to say that this isn't just about attacking Trump. This is ultimately trying to attack a fundamental institution of America, which is the right to an advocate and the entire legal process. And we've seen the Democrats do this with all of the Soros money that has gone into district attorneys so that they won't prosecute actual crimes. We've seen this with the Department of Justice under a Biden administration with Merrick Garland. We've seen this and them attacking government institutions like the Supreme Court that's poised to overturn Roe versus Wade. And somehow they think that it's okay that these mobs are going and picketing in front of these justices' homes, where the very foundation of the separation of powers is this idea that the judicial branch is insulated from partisan politicking and from being appealed to by the mob. That's why we don't elect justices. They are supposed to be the nonpartisan branch. The judicial branch is supposed to be about fact-finding and truth-seeking. And adversarial advocates who come in representing different clients' interests ultimately then appeal to the jury or the judge as fact-finders to be able to then apply the law to fact in a nonpartisan way. But the Democrats are attacking that very fundamental institution of justice and due process in America.
I mean, and Jenna, isn't it true that in the same vein, they are not only attacking principles of justice, they're attacking principles of democracy. I mean, this is a party that calls itself the Democratic Party, but look at their campaigns to go after people like Paul Gosar or Marjorie Taylor Greene. I mean, they literally filed a lawsuit against her on the basis that she, quote, supports insurrection and therefore should not be able to run for re-election. I mean, first of all, if they had a case to make, make it in front of her voters and see if you can persuade them that she's actually a horrible representative. But no, they realize that that's not going to work, so they're strategy is try to keep her off the ballot. Isn't that part of the same mentality? And isn't the left here in a sense, breaking with core principles of democracy, of justice. We know they've broken with principles of free speech. I mean, aren't we dealing here with a party of tyranny?
Oh, absolutely. And of course, they are trying to implement all of this lawfare because they know that their arguments won't work and they think they're entitled to power. They don't want to win elections freely and fairly. They want to coerce an outcome that they prefer because they want to manipulate the U.S. Constitution, completely disregard it when it benefits them. So they're all for the majority of the Supreme Court and quote unquote super precedent when it benefits their outcome. But as soon as a majority of the Supreme Court actually holds an outcome that is disfavorable to them, then suddenly they advocate for packing the court and the Supreme Court precedent no longer matters. And so we know by their actions, they don't care about our constitutional republic. They don't care about the supreme law of the land. They want to be a nation of tyrannical rulers, not a nation of rules. And we saw this with how they tried to force and coerce vaccine mandates and everything that they did that was fundamentally a violation, knowing violation of the law, to simply coerce their outcome. And that's why this is so dangerous. And the voters have to make sure that we speak, because here in America, we get to select and prefer our leaders. We are a government of the people, by the people, for the people. We, the people, get to determine what powers government has, and we get to say we no longer consent and we will never consent to tyranny.
Jenna, in closing, you were at a Mar-a-Lago premiere. And one of the issues that I'm sort of fighting about with the left on the movie is that they keep saying things like, well, this is not the kind of proof that could stand up in a court of law. And in fairness, I say to them, look, I'm not in a court of law. I'm making a film that is pointing to investigations that need to occur and things that might eventually end up in court. I'm just curious about, well, just your reaction to the vibe at Mar-a-Lago on May 4th, but then also as a lawyer watching the film, kind of what was your take on it?
Yeah, well, thank you so much for inviting me to be there. It was a wonderful evening. I loved hearing President Trump's remarks and seeing the film for the first time. And, you know, to me, of course, having been part of the post-2020 election, this only reaffirmed to me what we already knew and provided even more evidence and more support and more answers to these questions that we need to keep asking. And so, to me, this is all about the left continuing to move the goalposts. They will never be satisfied, even if we had one silver bullet and we had, you know, 1,000 people come forward and say, hey, we admit we purposefully, intentionally committed fraud and overturned the outcome of this election for Joe Biden, that still wouldn't be enough. They would say, oh, well, their credibility couldn't possibly stand up in court. I mean, the left will never accept the truth because they're not interested in truth. They are only interested in their own propaganda. And so what is so great about this film is that you are willing to continue to ask these questions and put forth evidence, let people decide for themselves. And the American people are deciding that they know that the Democrats are so irresponsible and so petty and so tyrannical and so outcome-based that we are going to see a conservative America First wave, but we have to make sure to protect election integrity. So I thought it was a great film, and I so respect the fact that you are not intimidated either, Dinesh, because where there is a coalition of bold voices who will continue asking these questions and holding government accountable, then that will only encourage more people to stand up and to be fact finders and truth seekers instead of being cowards like the Republican Party has been.
Wow, Jenna, that's remarkable. Thank you very much for those kind words, and thank you very much for joining me. Awesome to have you on the podcast, as always, and look forward to having you back.
Thanks so much. Always a privilege to join.
We're in the circle of Jupiter, the circle of justice, and Dante has just raised a very profound question, which is, consider the guy born along the Indus River, who is a good guy, a righteous man. Think of him as a sort of an Indian Job. And but with this difference, he doesn't know anything about, well, we won't say he doesn't know anything about God, but he certainly doesn't know anything about Christ. He doesn't know anything about Jesus. He's never been preached the gospel. He is outside the orbit of Christianity and Christendom. And Dante goes, he dies unbaptized. He dies without the faith. And then Dante asks the question, what happens to him? And he asks the question in the context of what would you say happens to him? Let's call that human justice or the human assessment. Or what's God going to say about it? And now Dante knows this is a very tricky question. It's a very tricky question because in some respects, the Bible is very clear that Jesus is the only way to salvation. Dante brings that up. Dante basically says there's a narrow pathway. There is a clear rule. But at the same time, Dante is asking the question, how is that rule interpreted by humans, human wisdom, as opposed to divine wisdom? And Dante is making the point that the two are not the same. Now, we love to think they're the same. We love to think that if we make a reading of Scripture, this becomes not just our reading, but we're merely understanding God's own will. But Dante's point is that in heaven, we're not talking about the conversation on earth, which is necessarily temporary, provisional, and a certain kind of enlightened guesswork. It can't be more than that. Dante is implying that this is a whole different matter than divine judgment itself, which has a nuance and a perfection, which takes into account. Let's remember the way that rules are. All rules have important exceptions. You should never tell a lie. That's obviously true. But there are certain circumstances in which lying might even be necessary. Or if you don't lie, you don't say anything. And my proof of this is that Jesus himself does that. Are you the Messiah? Jesus doesn't say. Is he lying? Now, you could argue, strictly speaking, well, that's a lie. That's a lie not of commission, but of omission. Jesus was asked a straight question, are you the Messiah? And Jesus said nothing, in a sense, implying that he might not be. But what Dante is getting at here is he is questioning our human impulse to sort of know the ways of God. Let me read. Every lesser nature is too small a vessel to contain that good which knows no bounds. Therefore, our vision, which can only be one of the rays that come from that prime mind, which penetrates every created thing, cannot of its own nature be so weak as not to see that its own principle is far beyond what our eyes can perceive. What Dante is saying is the very rationality that enables us to make judgments is the same rationality that shows us that our judgments are partial, limited, circumscribed, and cannot be compared. It's not just that God's judgment is larger in degree, it is different in kind from human judgment. And so the vision granted to your world, by the way, this is an eagle speaking to Dante, and so the vision granted to your world can no more fathom justice everlasting than eyes can see down to the ocean floor. Now, Dante is raising the point that it is a possibility, and he never grants it as more than a possibility, but he wants to insist that it is a possibility that God might look at people outside the reach of Christianity differently than many Christians have. God might take a different view of it. And Dante beautifully turns the subject without resolving it, without saying for sure that God does this. He turns the subject around in a very Dante-esque fashion, unexpected. And this is how he does it. But then there are those who cry, Christ, Christ, and at the judgment day will be less close to him than we will be those who know not Christ. Wow. This is Dante like really going for it here. And what he's saying is that, look, if you have a righteous Job living by the Indus, and then you have a wicked Christian, somebody, in other words, Christ, Christ. Remember, if in the Bible, it specifically talks about people who say Christ, Christ, but they are not near Christ. They might be nominal Christians. They're not real Christians. And on the time of separating the sheep from the goats, they will be with the goats, not with the sheep. And Dante is raising the point about, is it possible that just as many nominal Christians might be with the goats, is it possible that there are some non-Christians who will be with the sheep? We'll come back to this next time, but Dante now turns the tables and talks about the way in which non-Christians, good non-Christians around the world, might be looking at the horrible behavior of so-called Christians and how these Christians are going to have to answer before God for their hypocrisy and for their iniquity.
Subscribe to the Dinesh D'Souza podcast on Apple, Google, and Spotify, or watch on Rumble, YouTube, and SalemNow.com.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.